This book had its origins in a few previous research projects I was involved in, and which were founded on three core propositions that became evident in the first year of the Donald Trump presidency. The first proposition was that Donald Trump ran for the American presidency on the promise that he would fix the problems of Washington because he was a great manager. That is, he promised he could get things done, and that he would surround himself with the best people. We can find numerous examples of such expressions, such as in this press conference where Trump stated that, and I quote, "Government is incompetent. Guys like Bush and some others that I won't name, they're incompetent people. I agree, they can't do it, but I'm a great manager. I know how to manage things," end quote.
You always say you're going to hire the best people to work under your administration.
Right.
Who are the best people?
I know the best people. I know the best managers. I know the best deal makers.
We're going to make America great again. We're going to use our best people. We can do it because the people are so amazing.
In his book, The America We Deserve, Trump again compared the business of real estate to that of the commander-in-chief, stating, and I quote, "There's nothing really comparable to unleashing a squadron of bombers. But in the world of business, sometimes you have to make quick, secretive, decisive moves in order to gain a negotiating advantage. I've done so a number of times, in getting around the objections of would-be landmark preservation people, in gaining the advantage in trying to secure air rights, or a piece of property," end quote. These considerations led me to carry out several studies, focusing on Donald Trump's management style, looking over his historical record as a corporate manager and his style of management. This, in turn, led to the publication of several research papers in several international scholarly journals. As my research continued to focus on Trump's management of the American presidency, I was contacted by Peter Lang Publishers regarding a paper I was presenting at the International Studies Association's International Conference. I was focusing on President Trump's management of foreign policy decision-making during his first year in office. They wanted to know if I was thinking of expanding the study and writing a book on the subject. After thinking about it, I suggested that it might be more interesting to study the management style of the three 21st century American presidents, namely President George W. Bush, President Barack Obama, and President Donald Trump. While there were several studies on the management style of each individual president, there was a lack of a more systematic and structured study that could serve as a comparison. Moreover, there were some scholarly discrepancies regarding which model best represented each of these three presidents' management style. More precisely, while there was a general consensus on the management styles of the 20th century presidents, starting with Franklin D. Roosevelt, the same was not true for George Bush, for Barack Obama, and for Donald Trump. Accordingly, I spoke with Anthony Dutton, who's a historian, but who has taught political science courses, and we agreed to write the book. Our initial hypothesis, based on our knowledge of the presidents, was that each one had a different style of management that reflected the different conceptual management models commonly employed in political science. More accurately, we believe that President Bush's foreign policymaking resembled the formalistic model, Obama's resembled the collegial model, and Trump's was similar to the competitive model. The models of presidential management were first developed in the 1970s by Richard Tanner Johnson and further developed a few years later by Alexander George. Since then, numerous scholars have used them to analyze presidents' decision-making process and contributed to refining the models. The three models, the competitive, the formalistic, and the collegial, are diagrammed in this image and can be summarized as follows. The competitive model assumes that the president deliberately encourages competition and conflict among advisors and cabinet heads by giving them overlapping assignments and ambiguous, conflicting jurisdictions in policy areas. It also assumes that there is relatively little communication or collaboration among advisors. In this model, the president reaches down on occasion to communicate directly with subordinates of cabinet heads to get independent advice or information. Relevant information on policy problems is forced up through the network to the president himself, and competing advisors are forced to bring important policy problems to the president for resolution and decision. However, the president avoids the risk of becoming overloaded or involved by operating the system selectively. In contrast, in the formalistic model, specialized information and advice flows to the president from each of his cabinet heads and advisors. In this case, the president tends to define the role of each cabinet head as a functional expert on some type or some aspect of policy. Thus, each official briefs the president authoritatively on that aspect of a policy problem for which he has jurisdiction. Moreover, each advisor receives information and advice from his subordinate units. The president, for his part, does not encourage his advisors to communicate with each other or to engage in joint efforts at policy analysis and problem solving. Rather, the president sticks to formal channels and seldom reaches down to bypass a cabinet head to get independent information or advice from one of his subordinates. Finally, in the formalistic model, the president takes responsibility for the intellectual synthesis of specialized inputs on policy problems received from his advisors. The collegial model, for its part, shares some features of the previous two models. More precisely, the president is at the center of a wheel and spokes model, connecting to individual advisors and cabinet heads. In this model, advisors form a collegial team and engage in group problem solving. Here, information into the collegial team or flows into the collegial team from various points lower in the bureaucracy. Advisors do not perform as individual filters to the president. Rather, the group of advisors functions as a debate team that considers information and policy options from the multiple conflicting perspectives of the group members in an effort to obtain cross-fertilization and creative problem-solving. Moreover, advisors are encouraged to act as generalists, concerned with all aspects of the policy problem rather than as experts or functional specialists on only part of the policy problem. Therefore, discussions are kept informal enough to encourage frank expression of views and judgments and to avoid impediments to information processing generated by status and power differences among members. Still, the president occasionally gives overlapping assignments and occasionally reaches down to communicate directly with subordinates of cabinet heads in order to get more information and independent advice.